I would duty nowadays. And fire spotting happens to be mine. So when the warden said, old man, get high up if you can, I told him that suited me fine. And I go spotting on the top of Blackpool Tower. When the evening shadows fall, there you'll find me hour after hour, while seagulls up above drop messages of love. We must keep on watching, we're going to win, you bet. Though luxuries are scarcer and maybe hard to get, but I've seen lots of articles they haven't rationed yet. While spotting on the top of Blackpool Tower, spotting on the top of Blackpool Tower, when the evening shadows fall, there you'll find me hour after hour, while seagulls up above drop messages of love. Down there on the sandhills I hear the happy throng. One girl with a boyfriend kept bursting into song, but later on she sang, oh Lord, you made the night too long. While spotting on the top of Blackpool Tower, spotting on the top of Blackpool Tower, when the evening shadows fall, there you'll find me hour after hour, while seagulls up above drop messages of love. I had a fella worker, he said this job's a gift, but when the siren sounded, you should have seen him shift. He shot down 14 floors and found he'd gone without the lift. While spotting on the top of Blackpool Tower, spotting on the top of Blackpool Tower, when the evening shadows fall, there you'll find me hour after hour, while seagulls up above drop messages of love. One girl came to help me, her name was Mary Hope. She said she'd spot the fires and get to know the dope, but all she did was fiddle with the little telescope, while spotting on the top of Blackpool Tower.
Wasn't it? That was George Formby and sitting on top of Blackpool Tower. Seems to be that something you probably don't really want to do. It's quite spiky up there from what I seem to recall. Anyway, welcome to the program. I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Nice to be back with you, and I've got some good music for you this week. And at the moment, the weather is very, very nice out, and I've actually got the window in the studio open, but it's getting a little bit windy outside, so if it starts interfering with things, I'll close it and let you know. All the usual things in all the usual places. This is Nellie Wallace now. She's under the bed. Well, not her, you understand, but checking on it.
My mother said when first I wore a long black skirt and blouses, to always keep my eye on any thing that's wearing trousers. They're always running after tricky little girls like me. But if one starts to chase me, I shall show my dignity. For my mother said, always look under the bed before you blow the candle out to see if there's a man about. I always do. You can make a bet, but it's never been my luck to find a man there yet. One night I found a man upstairs beneath my bed, how funny. But when I pulled him out, I found was but a tailor's dummy. And oh, it did upset me, girls. I screamed out in alarm. Would I let it stop there all night? 'Cause it couldn't do no harm. For my mother said, always look under the bed before you blow the candle out to see if buttons, I always do. You can make a bet, but it's never been my luck to find a man there yet. What a life, what a life, full of disappointment. The girl next door had burglars in. Beneath her bed one tallies. She caught him and reformed him. In a fortnight they were married. If there's a young man here tonight who fancies I'm all right, I'd leave our door wide open if he'll rob our house tonight. For my mother's sake, always look under the bed before you blow the candle out. See if there's a man about in your eye. Always do. You can make a bet, but it's never been my luck to find a man there yet. But it's never been my luck to find a man there yet.
Nellie Wallace and Under the Bed. I checked under our bed earlier on. No men, just a lot of dust.
Get myself a clown's disguise and learn to laugh like Pagliacci with tears in my eyes. You look the same, you're a lot the same, but my heart says no, no, you're not the same. I'm afraid the masquerade over, and so is love, and so is love.
Supplying the vocals there, Larry Cotton. And I'm not going to say bless Larry's cottons. I was thinking about it. have to be honest with you, but I decided not to say it. Although I guess I probably have now, but don't worry. Horace Hite and his musical nights with Larry Cotton, and the masquerade is over. All right, time now for a couple of songs from Bing, because I say Bing, sing.
Come, my love, with me across the sea. Return to paradise. All in life worthwhile is on that I return to paradise. Velvet moon above, evil turns to love, love evermore. Me and find your peace of mind. Return to Velvet moon above, evil turns to love, love evermore. Come with me and find your peace of mine. Return to paradise. Look for the silver lining when
Yeah. always banish sadness and strife. So always look for the silver lining and try to find the sunny side of life. Say it with music, beautiful music. Somehow they'd rather be kissed to the strains of Chopin or Liszt. A melody mellow played on a cello helps Mr. Cupid along. So say it with a beautiful song.
Give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in.
Just turn me loose, let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise.
I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. And I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in.
Lots of land under starry skies. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in.
Just turn me loose, let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western skies.
On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise.
ba-boo-ba-ba-ba. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences, and gaze at the moon till I lose my senses, and I can't look at hobbles, and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in, no. Papa, don't you fence me in.
And there's the title from the great Bing Crosby. We started out with Return to Paradise, and stuck in the middle we had Look for the Silver Lining and Say It with Music. And we'll have another couple of songs from Bing Crosby around about the same time next week. Right now it's time to go over to Germany, indeed to Holger's house, who every week Holger sends me a song, which I'm still playing the song that we played 2 weeks ago. I loved it so much. I might play it again a little bit later on, but we're going to play this week's song from Holger's house, first of all, because apart from anything else, Holger doesn't go to bed until I've played it, and it's even an hour later in Germany than it is in the UK, so poor Holger is probably like chomping at the bit to go to the bed and probably yelling at the wireless going, shut up, Beagley. Anyway, this week we have Wolfgang Sauer. Now, at the age of 7, Wolfgang was almost totally blind already. He was a German jazz and pop singer and also a pianist. And Holger says, it's always a special pleasure for me to hear your announcement of the German titles. Too easy for you this time. Yeah, I think I can get it this week, Holger. Here is Wolfgang Sauer from 1957, Tammy.
Hörst du den Südwind, er flüstert dir zu, Tammy, Tammy, sein Glück bist du, und hörst du die Wellen, es klingt wie Musik, Tammy, Tammy, er kommt zurück, wenn im Heimatland alles blüht, seid ihr vereint, dann seid ihr ein junges Paar, das Freudentränen weint, dann flüstert der Südwind beim Küssen dir zu. Tammy, Tammy, sein Glück bist du. Tammy, Tammy, sein Glück bist du. Wenn im Heimatland alles blüht, seid ihr vereint, dann seid ihr ein junges Paar, das Freudentränen weint. Dann flüstert der Südwind beim Küssen dir zu, Tammy, Tammy, sein Glück bist du.
Isn't that beautiful? That was Wolfgang Sauer and Tammy, and Hands Up, who was singing along with the English vocals, because I was. Very nice song, Holger. Thank you so much. And Holger, mein Freund, es ist Zeit, die Treppe nach Bedfordshire in aufzusteigen.
Part of the family, Angel Radio.
And hopefully at some point I'll get an email from Holger telling me what it was I just said.
Love me, he wouldn't leave me.
Margaret Whiting and Where Did He Go? Now, I don't know if you're familiar in the UK with something called BritBox or not, but it's something that we have here in the United States. It's a subscription service. I think it costs about $7 a month, something like that, maybe $8. But it has what it professes to be some of the best television from the United Kingdom, from both the BBC and ITFA. And I don't know whether it's the best in all cases, but certainly some of the stuff we've been watching recently has been really good. And purely because we didn't catch it when it came around first time around, we've been watching something called The Tower, which I don't know if you have seen that or not, but if you have, wasn't it good? And if you haven't, give it a go. It's the first series, I think, was in three parts, and we're going to start the second series tonight. But it was really very, very good, and it got me guessing right up to the end. And of course, we've been to Happy Valley for the last couple of weeks now, which is just so delicious. I can't say enough about that program and the people, all the people that are in it. They are just so good, and I really hope there's going to be more of that Happy Valley, because Sarah Lancashire and Siobhan Finner, they were just great, absolutely great. So we've been watching a lot of BritBox television when we're not listening to Angel Radio. Of course, most of the time we listen to Angel Radio, but sometimes you just have to watch the television gogglebox. Otherwise, it really rather makes a mockery of the $260 odd it costs us a month to watch it. That's the way it is. Yes, I did say $260 a month. And that's without watching anything special as well, by the way. Yeah, still. All right, where are we? We're just coming up to 30 minutes into the program. I think it's time to play Beagle's Big Three. And this week it's a gentleman that we've featured here a lot, and anybody that listens to the program knows that I like. So settle back and relax, and let's enjoy Beagle's Big Three, as selected by Celeste, who lives in Johannesburg. Celeste, very good morning to you. Thank you so much. I'm talking of Matt Monro.
There could never be a portrait of my love, for nobody could paint a dream. You never see a portrait of my love. For miracles are never seen. Anyone who sees her soon forgets the Mona Lisa. It would take, I know, a Michelangelo, and he would need the glow of dawn that paints the sky above to try and paint a portrait of my love. It would take, I know, a Michelangelo, and he would need the glow of dawn that paints the sky above to try and paint a portrait of my love. Love. Walk away, please go, before you throw your life away. A life that I could share for just a day. We should have met some years ago. For your sake I say, walk away, just go. Walk away and live a life that's full with no regret. Don't look back at me, just try to forget. Why build a dream that cannot come true? So be strong, reach the stars now. Walk away, walk on. If I heard your voice, I'd beg you to stay. Just run, run away. Goodbye, my love. My tears will fall now that you're gone. I can't help but cry, but I must go on. I'm sad that I, after searching so long, knew I loved you, but told you, walk away, walk on.
as free as the wind blows, as free as the grass grows, born free to follow your heart. Live free, and beauty surrounds you. The world still astounds you. It's time you look at a star. Stay free, where no walls divide you. You're free as a roaring tide, so there's no need to. But only worth living, 'cause you're born free.
Said in her email, she said, I hope you don't mind the three songs that I've chosen. She said, I know some people might think they're very pedestrian, but they happen to be the three best songs that mean the most to me from Matt Munro, and I love them, and it's just so good to hear them back to back. Celeste, I totally agree with you. I actually call it my R moment. I'm sitting down chair, a cup of coffee, something like that, and all of this music comes on, and I just sit there just and wallow and keep going, ah, the whole time, because it is just so beautiful. So thank you for that, Celeste. Three of Matt Munro's very best there. Probably don't even need to tell you what they were, but just in case, Portrait of My Love, Walk Away, and Born Free. And if you would like to be the purveyor of next week's Beagle's Big Three, do please drop me an email, roy@angelradio.uk. And if you don't have access to email, then you can give the office a call during normal working hours and ask them if they would very mind, if they'd mind very much forwarding a message from you on to me. And they always do. They're lovely people, our receptionists. If you can't do email, do please give them a call. And that number would be 0800 014 1955. And if you're in the UK, the call is even free. All right, time now for us to tell a story, and this could be anything. It doesn't actually have to be a story, although in this particular case, it is. So settle back and relax as we have Tell Me a Story.
The Gate by Norma Haas, read by Patsy Kensett.
The garden gate had six black iron spikes on top. Ugly spikes. The distance between each railing was exactly the width of Meg's forehead, so that after leaning her head against its magic coolness and peering out at the world, there were two large pink stripes on either side of her ears. The railings framed all there was to see, just as the frames on picture books did. The gate kept Meg safe from the rest of the world and at the same time kept her mother prisoner. Nobody could ever escape past that gate without being heard. It was heavy and creaked, and it would announce anyone leaving. I've had enough. Oh, there has to be more to life than this. When her mother said this, Meg longed to point to all the lovely things around that she thought maybe her mother couldn't see. Her mother never told Meg she loved her, but at times Meg thought it might be possible. At other times she didn't believe it for a moment. When Meg tried to help in the kitchen, her mother would yell and wave her arms impatiently. Oh, get out of my hair! That's when Meg collected her stool and went to the bottom of the garden to set up her lonely post, guarding the gate so that her mother couldn't run away. It was nice by the gate. It was a window to watch the world go by, a world bounded beyond the gate by the row of tall red brick houses that soared upward, blocking out the sun until midday. There were things and people to watch on the street. The man across the road with the funny collar and bow tie and his bundle of books. The odd skinny lady two doors away, whom her mother always called the lady with the two left legs. It was true. She had a funny lopsided look as though her knees could bend both ways. Then there was the dancer lady, who on summer nights, when it was daylight for so long, waved from her window to Meg and brought out a puppet doll to make it dance on the ledge. The sun caught the third-story windowsill at that time of night, lighting it up like a stage. It was magical. When the lady saw Meg in the daytime, behind the gate, she would wave, but she never came over to speak, and Meg was glad. They shared a secret, and to speak about it would spoil everything. Meg was in love with the dancer. She was tall and dark, with her hair drawn back from her face. She walked, turning her feet out, and sort of glided along, exactly like her puppet. Meg practiced walking that way, imagining she was getting it just right. Then, in the afternoons, the other children came home from school and played ball on the street. Sometimes they asked Meg to come out from behind the gate and play with them, but she wouldn't come. They started calling her Monkey Face. Her father heard them one day and he began calling her that too. But when he said it, it was different and Meg was happy. One day, something dreadful happened. Men came and took the gate away and all the railings, leaving only the hedge. Her father said it was for the war effort. Meg was baffled. How could the war effort need their gate and railings? Meg decided it was to build a fence around the country to keep the enemy out. She didn't go out of the house for days after that, and her mother got angrier and angrier, complaining to Meg's father. Oh, do something about her! She's tripping on my heels morning, noon and night! Her father took her on his knee and stroked her hair. What is it, Monkey Face? Can't you leave Mummy alone? Meg began to cry. Stop mewling, her mother yelled. Thank God she'll be gone to school soon. Meg had trouble getting to sleep at nights just thinking about the day school would start. She was certain when that day came her mother would run away. But there were other things to worry about. Different things, all happening suddenly. First, it was the gate. Then her sisters and brother left home, went away to the country where they would be safe in boarding school. And then there was just Meg and her mother and father left. A huge iron dining table arrived with mesh sides that hooked on and off. Her father said it was a shelter against air raids. Then he made them practice going under the table. It was lovely underneath the table. There were candles, a mattress and blankets, and it was cozy. When the sides were on, it was just like being in the garden again with the railings and gate. Safe, where nothing could touch you. And when they actually went under the table, her mother hugged Meg and cried. Her father was out driving an ambulance down at the dock, and her mother cried and rocked her, and it was warm and lovely in her arms, even though her mother was crying. Then things changed again. Her father's office was evacuated to the country, and he wanted to take them with him, but her mother wouldn't leave Granny Dunn. Her mother and father fought about that for days, shouting and yelling, until finally her father didn't say anything anymore. When he came home at the weekends, her mother said he was lucky to be able to run away each week. And Meg looked at her father and wondered if that was what he wanted. She hadn't ever thought of her father as wanting to run away. He hugged Meg a lot when he was home and in the summer took her places. Once she even went to the country with him and stayed in a long room with other people where she had to sleep on a funny iron bed. She liked it there because everyone seemed gay and carefree. There were no air raid sirens, and there was one lady, her father's secretary, with a powdered face and a strawberry red mouth, who kept giving her things and putting her arms around her. She liked the presents, but didn't really like the lady, although she wasn't quite sure why. The lady smelled of perfume, and long after she had hugged her, Meg still smelled the perfume. She was sure her father didn't really like her either, because he was funny when she was around, making a fuss of Meg and speaking in a funny voice. Back in town, there were the endless walks to her grandmother's each day. Granny Dunn was lame and always sat in a wheelchair, but apart from that, she didn't seem to need much looking after. She had a maid called Rose and a budgie called Sam. Meg didn't really love her grandmother. She was scared of her. But then everyone seemed scared of her, even Rose. Everyone but her mother. She had a big, deep voice for someone so tiny. "Run away and play!" The same words as her mother's, the same frown. "Go look for chickweed for Sunny." But it was all right, because it was safe in the garden. For some reason, the garden still had a gate. Perhaps Granny Dunn had scared off the men who came to take it away. Each day, her mother stayed a long time at Granny Dunn's. It was lovely in the garden, picking out the chickweed from between the flagstones to feed to Sammy, then roaming by the flower beds, feeling the stickiness of the snapdragons, getting the orange dye from the big lilies all over her fingers. And then when she was bored with the garden, she went to the garage, where the door was always open, and stroked the flanks of the big shining car that only ever came out for weddings and funerals. She pretended the car was a great gentle horse, and that some day she would be able to climb on and lead the horse wherever she pleased. Then it was the end of summer, and things changed again. She went to school. That awful first day of school when she cried all day and her mother came to pick her up. She called her a baby for crying, but Meg didn't care because she was there scolding her and she hadn't run away, and that was the important thing. All the time she complained, she held Meg's hand tightly, and Meg smiled, even though she was being scolded. Her father came home at the weekend and talked to Meg about growing up and about how big girls didn't cry, and so she stopped crying at school. But she was glad each day when she could run home quickly to make sure her mother was still there. In the winter, her mother didn't complain so much anymore, and at weekends, when her father was home, men from America came to the house, men wearing uniforms. They brought chocolate bars and nylons and Lucky Strike cigarettes, and they had names like animals and gnats: Buck, Midge, and Bill. When they came, her mother was nice to her, nicer than she'd ever been, and Meg was glad the men with funny names were around. The house was always filled with smoke and the smell of food cooking, and Buck and Midge taught Meg how to play card games. Her mother laughed a lot and called Meg darling. The men said her mother was too young-looking to have such a big daughter, and Meg said, "Well, you should see Evelyn," indicating with her hand how tall her sister was, and then her mother was mad and told Meg to run along and play. One day, the soldier came during the week when her father was away. Meg didn't like him as much as she liked the other soldiers. He was always giving her money and telling her to go and buy herself some candies. Her mother said candies were sweets, but he was stupid because there were no sweets to buy. He didn't seem to remember about rationing and shortages. One day, when she came home from school, she found the soldier standing close to her mother with his hand on her arm, and she knew for sure she really didn't like him. He pounced on her and swung her up in the air, and she could smell a sort of sweet, familiar smell as her face passed his, a sort of mother smell, and she wanted to cry. He set her down again. "Hey, hon, run down to the store and get me some matches." He pulled some change from his pocket. "We have matches." Meg went into the kitchen and brought the box that was always kept by the stove. Then she sat on the piano bench and swung her legs. The soldier and her mother sat and looked at each other, and the room felt funny, all hot and clammy. But her mother suddenly wasn't mad anymore. She came over and put her arm around Meg. "Want to hear her sing?" her mother asked the soldier. "She sings like an angel." Meg looked up at her mother and saw how pink her face was and how pretty she looked, prettier than any other mother on the street. "Sure." Meg knew he didn't really want to hear her sing. her mother made her get up from the piano bench and sit down, and then turn the pages of the songbook to the one with Beautiful Dreamer. Meg liked Beautiful Dreamer, and she knew she could sing it well. Beautiful Dreamer, hark unto me. He stood over the piano and stared at her mother. She made her sit down beside her, and instead of looking at the soldier, she looked at her. And Meg saw that her mother loved her at that moment. The soldier was there some days when she came home from school, but when he tried to get her to go out to buy him things, or even bribed her with the money, her mother gave her a look that said, "Don't go." And it was as though they were playing a game together. One day when she came home from school, there was nobody there in the house except her mother, and her eyes were red, and she was walking around the kitchen as though she wasn't sure where she really wanted to be. "Isn't he coming?" Meg asked. "No," she grabbed Meg by the shoulders. "I don't want you mentioning his name. He's not ever coming again." That night, there was a terrible air raid, and the floor shook underneath them. Her mother unhooked the side of the table and ran to the window. When she lifted the blind, Meg could see the entire street lit up, lights flaring and dying, just like at Halloween. Her mother came back under the table. Large tears were trickling down her face, but no sound was coming from her. Instead of fussing and talking as she usually did, she said nothing. Rather than hugging Meg, she held her arms across her body and rocked back and forward, shivering. Meg tucked the blanket around her mother, but she didn't notice and kept on rocking. Meg felt her own tears flowing, and because she hadn't brought a hanky under the table with her, she had to rub her nose on a school jersey. "Are we going to die then?" Meg asked finally. Her mother stopped rocking and stared at her. She smiled suddenly and put an arm around her, pulling her close. "No, darling, we're not going to die. We're going to the country, to Daddy."
"To the country? What about Granny?"
She kissed Meg's forehead. "Granny will be all right."
"What if Granny sleeps on and doesn't hear the air raid siren?"
"Nobody would bomb Granny, darling. Nobody would dare, would they?" Meg stared at her mother. "We could take her to the country too, couldn't we?" But she saw her mother wasn't thinking about Granny Dunn anymore. And then it was over. The long, shrill scream of the all-clear sirens told them the bombers had gone home, and her mother was unhooking the sides of the table. Meg wished suddenly that, like Sammy the budgie in his cage, they could stay forever under the table, safe and sound. Her mother held her hand as she walked her upstairs to bed.
"Anyway, Granny has a gate. She'll be all right behind the gate," Meg said brightly, looking up at her mother.
But her mother had a faraway look on her face and didn't answer.
Thank you. sky, and the sky feels blue. Tear a petal from a rose, and the rose weeps too. Take your heart away from mine, and mine will surely break. My life is yours to make, so please keep the spark away. Would you take the wings from birds so that they can't fly? Would you take the ocean's roar and leave just a sigh? All this your heart won't let you do. This is what I beg of you. Don't take your love from me.
I'm sure you recognize there Lena Horne, and she was singing there with the orchestra of Artie Shaw and Don't Take Your Love From Me. And before that, we heard Patsy Kensett reading The Gate in this week's Tell Me a Story. And we'll have another story around about the same time next week.
Returning through years of yearning, no matter how you try, forgotten dreams won't die. You think it's over forever. Forgotten dreams won't die. Somewhere in a crowded place, though she isn't there, you will see her face. Somewhere you will hear her name, and suddenly you know that the thrill is still the same. Still the same. They keep returning, the flame still burning. Though love has said goodbye, forgotten dreams won't die. Though love has said goodbye, forgotten dreams won't die.
was the great Vince Hill and Forgotten Dreams. You're listening to Beagley at Night here on Angel Radio with me, Roy Beagley. We are on FM 98.6 in Gosport and Portsmouth and Havant, and of course various DAB outlets throughout the UK. They differ from time to time, so I won't tell you where exactly they are, but you can get details at the website angelradio.co.uk, and of course you can find us on the internet, and you can get details of how you can do that in other places other than how you're listening now, if you're listening on the internet, also at the website angelradio.co.uk. Time now for a little bit of posh. This is where we have something that really doesn't fit in with anything that we do on the program. And it's usually a piece of classical music or a poem or something like that. And since we've had Tell Me a Story earlier on, I thought perhaps a bit of classical music would be nice. And I think if it's something that we all know, that makes it even nicer somehow. So settle back and relax for this week's little bit of posh. I was actually going to play the first piece of that, but I was enjoying it so much. And the second and third pieces were fairly short, so I thought, well, let's just do Summer from Vivaldi's Four Seasons, as played by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Jonathan Carney. This week's bit of Posh. Hope you enjoyed that. And, Summer not quite here yet, but a couple more weeks. Won't be too bad, can't wait for it, and weather here has actually been rather nice anyway, to be absolutely honest with you. Although Sunday was a little bit cooler, but last couple of days, can't grumble. And of course, in a couple of weeks' time, it's going to be my birthday, and it always is sunny on my birthday. Thank you. Sunny Skies from the Piccadilly Players here on Angel Radio. Okay, time now for a couple of songs from Doris Day. Day at Night is what we call this segment. It was invented by Brad in Chicago many, many moons ago. And we didn't actually have a show last week, Brad, and I know you were traveling and thought you had missed it, but you didn't. So, in fact, you haven't missed a single song from Doris Day since we started to this. Settle back, relax, have an aha moment.
My romance doesn't have to have a moon in the sky. My romance doesn't need a blue lagoon standing by. No month of May, no twinkling stars, no hideaway, no soft guitars. My romance doesn't need a castle rising in Spain, nor a dance to a constantly surprising refrain. Wide awake, I can make my most fantastic dreams come true. My romance doesn't need a thing.
Well, what do you know? He smiled at me in my dreams last night. My dreams are getting better all the time. And what do you know? He smiled at me in a different light. My dreams are getting better all the time. To think that we were strangers a couple of nights ago, and though it's a dream, I never dreamed he'd ever say hello. Oh, maybe tonight I'll hold him tight when the moonbeam shines. My dreams are getting better all the time.
Turned out this way. Forgive me and forget me, but remember every single thing I say. I admire you and desire you. That's what makes this farewell scene so hard to play, and what makes it much harder to do is the fact I know you're sorry too. Yes, I'm sorry everything turned out this way. You remember every single thing I say. I admire you and desire you. That's what makes this farewell scene so hard to play, and what makes it much harder to do is the fact I know you're sorry too.
That last song sounded very Burt Kampfer-ish, didn't it? Or Kampfer-tish. Kampfer-tish, yes. Doris Day and Sorry, and we started off with My Romance, and tucked in the middle there, My Dreams Are Getting Better All the Time. This week's Day at Night here on Angel Radio, and we'll have another Day at Night round about the same time next week. We normally have it about 10 minutes into the second hour of the program, something like that. Brad, hope you enjoyed that. Hope you had good travels. Didn't get any pictures of your travels whatsoever. Not that I'm sort of like feeling left out or anything, but just thought I'd mention it.
We
wake you up in the morning. We keep you on the go.
We're your company in the evening and at night when the lights are low.
Angel Radio, old-fashioned quality.
Your constant companion.
The reason I mentioned the pictures is that I think most years, certainly the last couple of years, mid part of summer, early mid part of summer, he goes off tromping all over Canada and sends me the most amazing pictures, all of which now make up my pictures on my computer for my desktop folder. So every time I turn my computer on, I see one of Brad's wonderful pictures, and I was hoping for some from his European travels, but sorry, I just hit the microphone then, sorry, waving my arms around. I might see Rome or Paris or something like that. But it goes tramping around, I think, the northern part of the USA and then into Canada. Absolutely beautiful pictures. Even in August, there's some snow around places, which is absolutely amazing. So that's why I mention it. No other reason than that. What should we do now?
Beautiful to see. Say you wanna be in pictures. Oh, what a hit you would be. Your voice would thrill the nation. Your looks would be adored. You'd be a big sensation. With wealth and fame, your reward. And if you should kiss the way we kiss when we are all alone, you'd have every girl and man a fan worshipping at your throne. You ought to shine as brightly as Jupiter and Mars. Say you ought to be in pictures, my star of stars.
Jack Little, and you ought to be in pictures.
I'm not a bat or a rat or a cat. I'm not a gnu or a kangaroo. I'm not a goose or a moose on the loose. I am a moose.
hole and I live in a hole.
I'm not a cow or a chow or a sow. I'm not a snake or a hick or a drake. I'm not a flea or a wee chimpanzee.
I am a mole and I live in a hole.
Yuck, yuck, quack, quack, fried boiler roast. You're the sleek cheek I dig the most. I'm not a ram or a clam or a lamb. I'm not a hawk or a frog or a dog. I'm not a bus or a ape or a mus.
I am a mole and I live in a hole.
Song I had forgotten. I am a mole and I live in a hole, and that was from the Southlanders, another one of D.A.B. Dave's songs. Thank you so much for that, Dave. I had totally forgot about that song. I would have denied all knowledge of knowing it. Probably would have passed a lie detector test as well, but I did as soon as I started playing it. I am a mole and I live in a hole. Should we have some Eddie Fisher right now?
It was fascination, I know, and it might have ended right then at the start. Just a passing glance, just a sweet romance, and I might have gone on my way empty-hearted. Je serai toujours ton amant, et je crois à toi comme au bonheur suprême. Je te fuis parfois, mais je reviens quand même. C'est plus fort que moi, je t'aime. Fascination, I know, seeing you alone with the moonlight above. Then I touched your hand, the next moment I kissed you. Fascination turned to love.
Now, the more observant of you may probably have spotted that was not Eddie Fisher. That was actually Maurice Chevalier with Glenn Osser's orchestra and Fascination. Eddie Fisher was going to sing Cindy O' Cindy, but we got Maurice Chevalier instead. But it means now that if I press this button and then start this, we should have Eddie Fisher.
Navy to see the world, but nowhere could I find a girl as sweet as Cindy, the girl I left behind. I've sailed the wide world over, can't get her out of my mind. Cindy, oh Cindy, Cindy, don't let me down.
Write me a letter soon, and I'll be homeward bound. I see her face in every wave, her lips kiss every breeze. Her loving arms reach out for me through calm and stormy seas. At night I pace the lonely deck, caressed by memories. Cindy, oh Cindy, Cindy, don't let me down. Write me a letter soon, and I'll be homeward bound. I know my Cindy's waiting as I walk the deck alone. Her loving arms reach out for me. Soon I'll be heading home. Then my sailing days will be over, and no more will I roam. Cindy, oh Cindy, Cindy, don't let me down. Write me a letter soon, and I'll be homeward bound. And I'll be homeward bound.
Eddie Fisher and Cindy, oh Cindy. I'm so lucky to be doing this program early in the morning, because basically it's you and I. It's just us listening to this program. So if I make a mistake, you don't mind, do you? And I don't mind. So what's the point of stopping everything and then putting the right thing on and then only to put the thing that was on in the first place back on again later? Doesn't make any sense to me. If you don't mind, I don't mind. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. Where are we? We're about, oh gosh, we've only got about 22 minutes to the end of the program. So let's have this from the wonderful Nana Mouskouri.
Till the white rose blooms again, till the white rose blooms again.
bragging and criticizing and call me pison. I ain't apologizing, no siree. No matter what you say, I still suits me. The rag you're chewing must be a ruin. Keep right on knocking, keep right on mocking. My rocking chair ain't rocking, no siree. No matter what you say, I still suits me.
Does you ever wash the dishes? Does you do the things I wishes? Does you do it? No, you don't. Will you do them? No, you won't. When there's any work into it, I'm the one that's gotta do it. When it's raining, who's the fella? Uses up the whole umbrella. Selfish as a man can be.
No matter what you say, I still suits me.
Money.
I know that, honey.
I never see none.
Ain't gonna be none. But that don't worry me none, no siree. No matter what you say, I still suits me. I may be no good, no good for your good. I may be lifeless, but with one wife less, my life would be more strifeless, yes siree. No matter what you say, I still suits me. Does you ever wash the dishes? Does you do the things I wishes? Does you do them? No, you don't. Will you do them? No, you won't.
Always imitate me and always aggravate me. Then in spite of everything, in spite of all the grief you bring, expecting me to love you too.
No matter what you say, I think you do.
I know I do.
That was the Clifford Greenwood Orchestra and the people singing there, Paul Robeson and Elizabeth Welsh. And Elizabeth Welsh, of course, had a couple of hits of her own with Stormy Weather and Love for Sale, and I think as well Far Away in Shantytown. Born in the United States, but I think she lived a lot of her life in the United Kingdom. I know she lived to be about 99 years of age. And of course, we also had Paul Robeson in there as well. He was born in Princeton, New Jersey, back in 1898, if memory serves me correctly. And he didn't die that far from Princeton, New Jersey. He died in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, I believe it was 77 or 78, something like that. And who can forget Old Man River? Beautiful. You're listening to Beagley at Night here on Angel Radio.
I bless the day I found you. I want to stay around you. And so I beg you, let it be me. Don't take this heaven from one. If you must cling to someone now and forever, let it be me. Each time we meet, love, I find complete love. Without your sweet, sweet love, what would life be? So never leave me lonely. Tell me you love me only, and that you'll always
team of 70 volunteers working just for you. Thank you for your donations, which help to keep us on air.
Just thinking of you and the way you look tonight. Lovely, with your smile so warm and your cheeks so soft, there is nothing for me but to love you just the way tonight. With each word, your tenderness grows, tearing my fear apart. And that laugh that wrinkles your nose touches my foolish heart. Breathless charm, won't you please arrange it? 'Cause I love you just the way you look tonight, just the way you look tonight.
Well, that was Gary Miller with The Way You Look Tonight, and I seem to remember he did some really good rollicking versions of the ballad of Davy Crockett and Robin Hood. And before that, Bobby Gentry and the other guy, what's his name, Campbell. Forgotten it already. Terrible. It'll come to me. Glenn Campbell. There you go. And Let It Be Me, and that came from 1968. It's getting late for me, early for you, I know, but I had an early start this morning, as some of you may be aware, so it's sort of like it's getting to the point where I'm beginning to drag a little bit, but I can still do 11 minutes of that, I'm sure. Thank you. Z Victor 1 to Z Victor 4, something like that. That was Z Car's Cha 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 from 1962 from the John Warren Orchestra. And it may be late, but I Cha Cha Cha'd here in the studio, I promise you. All right, we haven't got much longer to go, but I want to come in with a little bit of comedy here because we haven't had any comedy tonight, well, apart from me trying to present a radio program, of course, but here's some real comedy.
Children, now come along. We're going to do our nice moving to music this morning, so let's make a lovely fairy ring, shall we, and then we'll all be flowers growing in the grass. Now let's make a big circle, spread out, wider, just fingertips touching. That's it. Sue, let go of Neville. Well, because flowers don't hold hands, they just touch fingertips. Sue, let go of Neville. And Sue, we don't want grumblers in our fairy ring, do we? We only want smilers. Yes, David, you're a smiler. Yes, Lavinia, you are, and Peggy. Yes, you're all smilers. Now, quiet, please, don't get so excited. Now, quiet. And Sue's going to be a smiler in a minute, aren't you, Sue? That's better. George! Don't do that. Now then, let's all put on our thinking caps, and we'll think what flower we're going to choose to be. Are you ready? Lavinia. A bluebell. Good. Peggy. A red rose. That's nice. Neville. A wild rose. Well done, Neville. Sydney. Sydney, pay attention, please, and don't pummel Rosemary. What flower are you going to choose to be? A horse isn't a flower, Sydney. No, children, that isn't funny. It's very silly. And if Sydney can't think of a better flower than that, I think we'll go on to somebody else until he can. Now then, Sue, what about you? Another rose. Oh, I've got a lovely bunch of roses, haven't I? Peggy's a red one, and Neville is a wild one, and I expect you're a beautiful white one, aren't you? Oh, you're another red one. All right. Now then, Sydney. A carrot isn't a flower, Sydney. Now think, dear, and don't blow like that. How about being a tulip? Well, a holly leaf isn't a flower, Sydney. All right, you be a holly leaf. Now then, children, listen very carefully. Elvis, stop bouncing. No, bouncing isn't dancing. Elvis, don't argue, dear. Now, you watch the others and you'll see. Now, when Miss Bolting plays her music, I want us all to get up onto our tipmost toes, light as feathers, and dance away all over the room wherever the music takes us. And remember, we're lovely flowers growing in the grass. Everybody ready? Oh, just a minute, Miss Bolting. Sydney. Sydney, come here, please. What have you got in your mouth? I can't hear a word you're saying, Sydney, so go out of the room and spit it out, whatever it is, and then come back and tell me what it was. And Sydney, both feet, don't hop. Now then, we're not going to wait for a silly little boy who puts things in his mouth like a baby. We're going to be lovely flowers growing in the grass, and the sun is shining down on us to make us grow tall. And Geoffrey, stand up, dear. Flowers don't look backwards through their legs, do they? What flower are you? A fat daisy, are you? Well, that's nice. Now, Hazel, what do we do with our heads? We hold them up. I should think so. Come in, Sydney. Come in. There's no need to knock the door down like that, is there? Now, what did you have in your mouth? It can't have been nothing, Sydney, because I distinctly saw something. Yes, I know it's nothing now, but what was it then? A big button. Well, I'm very glad you spat it out, aren't you? You didn't? Well, do you feel all right, Sydney? Well, get back into your place, then. Where did you get the button from? Off Rosemary's pink frock. I'm ashamed of you, Sydney. A big boy of four to go around eating buttons off little girls' frocks. What flower are you going to be? I've quite forgotten. You better be a hollyhock. Sydney, you cannot be a superjet. And if you're going to be a crosspatch, you better go and sit down over there until you're a nice boy again. And you'd better be thinking what flower you're going to be. And then you can go on. Go and sit there. And then you... George! Now then, children, we're ready. Now listen carefully to the music and then dance like a flower. And we're ready at last, Miss Bolting. I am so sorry. One, two, off we go. Dance, Neville. Don't just stand there. Hazel, dear, use your arms. Don't forget to breathe, Peggy. Breathe, dear. George, rhythm. Yes, you can. Cheer up, you're a happy flower. Yes, you are. Because I say so. Oh, good, Sydney. I knew you'd think of something you'd like to be. All right, you shall be a cauliflower. Only be it gently.
You It really does take me back. That was, of course, the great Joyce Grenfell Nursery School, and in parentheses, it has flowers. That's just about it for this edition of Beagley at Night. I had a ball being with you for the last 2 hours, and I hope you will join me again round about the same time next week when we get to do it all again, all being well, because we take nothing for granted anymore. Until we meet next time, have yourselves a good day and a safe day, a good week and a safe week, and I leave you with this. Ta-da.
One dream in my heart, one love to be living for, one love to be living for. This nearly was mine. One girl from my dreams, one partner in paradise. This promise of paradise, this nearly was mine. Close to my heart she came, only to fly away. Only to fly as day flies from moonlight. Now I'm alone, still dreaming of paradise, still saying that paradise once nearly was once nearly was mine.